Friends, this is chapter 7, which deals with import finance and the trade credit. Earlier, we have seen the types of trade finances, supporting role by export credit agencies, and other matters like products, processes, process flow, and so many other things. As I said, we are going much deeper into the presentation. This is the chapter which deals with the import finance. Generally, trade finance means the export finance. That is the concept that people have taken into consideration, but there is also import is also a trade, and it requires the finance also. But that much importance is not given to the import finance, because any country who exports the goods, they receive the foreign exchange. Whereas in import, there is an outlay of the foreign exchange which is earned. So there will be always a deficit of trade balance, deficit of trade balance. In our country specifically, import is more than the exports. That is why the government tries to import the curb on the import finance, and they are not encouraging the imports. That is why financing products for the imports are limited. However, whatever is essential that has to be imported, and the essential things, definitely it may require the finance at certain point of time. Therefore, this chapter is exclusively dealing with the import finance, its limited scope, and also the finance relating to the trade credit. Trade credit particularly refers to the external commercial borrowing and the buyer's credit. These are the two elements, and supplier's credit also it covers under that. So we are taking into consideration particularly import of the goods and finance made available to it, as well as trade credits that is allied activity, that is additional activities for the import also, as well as for the capital inflow also. So let us understand this. And our objective of this particular topic is to understand various import finance options provided by the bank and the financial institution to the importer or buyer. Please remember here, while discussing the import or import finance, ensure that importer is in our country. Importer is in our country. Ours is an importing country. And then the finally all the related explanation related to that will be focusing on the importer only. Okay. Now, to understand, another objective is to understand the method and product under the import finance, its terms and conditions, regulations pertaining to the trade credits and import finance, process which facilitate timely payment of the imported goods and ensure the adequate working capital for the importers, and how support to the efficient logistic, custom clearance, etc. in compliance with RBI regulations, FEMA regulations, and international guidelines. With the view of this objective, our presentation structure will include the types of trade types of import finance, modes of import payment. This is always better to understand first import payment, no? Then regulatory framework governing the import finance, then instruments which are used in import finance, risk management in import finance, its process flow, particularly LC-based process flow, and the recent development, as well as trade finance ecosystem supporting import. So to start with, You are aware that Reserve Bank of India regulates the import finance under the provision of Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999, ensuring that adherence to the prudential norms, payment timelines, and foreign exchange control. At the international level, instruments such as LC or documentary collection, or which are backed by the government, rules of International Chamber of Commerce, particularly UCP 600 and URC 522, and the role of Indian customs and compliance with the Customs Act 1962, these are essential to understand as far as the documentation and clearance process for the import is concerned. Now, types of import finance. Types of import finance is two way we can classify into. One is a first fund-based import finance, and another one is non-fund-based import finance. Fund-based import finance involves direct disbursal of funds by the banks or financial institution to support the import transaction. Second is non-fund-based import finance, where it does not involve immediate outflow of the funds, but the contingent liability is required to be maintained. And third one in that is foreign currency loan or buyer's credit. Buyer's credit is the loan in foreign currency arranged by the importer from the overseas lender. They may be bank or financial institutions, right? What is the purpose of arranging this loan? It to pay to the exporter or supplier of the goods on due date, while the importer repays the loan after the credit period is over. Generally, period for making the payment of import bills is up to 1 year for non-capital goods, and maximum period, and up to 3 years for the capital goods. Regulatory guidelines suggest that under buyer's credit or trade credit policy, loan must be all-in cost selling, that is SOFR, plus 250 basis point. That is the buyer's credit cost. So lender overseas must be recognized as an overseas entity, and reporting to be done via single master form, that is SMF, in RBI's firms portal. There is a separate reporting portal that is called firms portal for buyer's credit. Rupee import loan, INR working capital loan or rupee import loan. Short-term rupee loan offered by the bank for the repayment of towards the imports. Bills may be drawn at DA or DP basis. And this loan granting is subject to bank's credit limit, working capital assessment, KYC AML norms, and must ensure that bill of entry is submitted within the RBI specified timelines. Then import bill financing or bill discounting. Import bill financing or discounting. We usually know we discount the export bills, but we rarely discount the import bill. So financing against the bill under letter of credit or collection basis. LC bills discounting. Site or usance bill under LC are discounted. Collection bill discounting, bills received on DA or DP basis. advantage of this discounting of the financing of import bill is that it helps to bridge the gap between the shipment and the payment realization. Now, deferred payment arrangement. Deferred payment arrangement is used for import of capital goods, machinery, and turnkey projects, where the payments are spread over 3 to 5 years, means longer period. Okay, deferred payment. This is often supported by the export credit agencies like Exim Bank, Euler-Hellman's, etc. This requires RBI's approval if the tenor exceeds the permitted credit limit. That is, 3 to 5 years is a permitted credit limit, 3 years maximum. Capital import also requires the compliance with the DGFT and custom valuation rule. This is about the buyer's credit and other credit. Next is the supplier's credit. Supplier's credit is nothing but the credit offered directly by the overseas supplier to the Indian importer. That is credit period. Credit period, not directly funding, non-fund based, right? This can be a foreign currency or in INR, usually at a fixed interest rate. So, importer must verify the credibility of the supplier, financing the compliant with the FEMA. In short, import bill received, we say, for example, for 90 days period to pay, but importer unable to pay on 90 days, he requests for the extension of the timeline to the supplier. If timeline is extended, say up to 120 days, 30 days or more, that time the supplier stipulates the terms and conditions like that. The rate of interest will be stipulated, right? And this must be accepted by the importer, and it has to be paid additionally, in addition to the cost of the goods, to the overseas supplier. So, extension of the period, payment period, by the supplier is nothing but it is a supplier's credit only, because it attracts the rate of interest for extended period, or maybe from the time day one to till the date of maturity. Now, non-fund based import finance. We have seen whatever the buyer's credit, supplier's credit and other type of credit for the importers, that is fund based. Now, non-fund-based import finance consists of letter of credit. Now, letter of credit is also one of the financing arrangement. This is written undertaking. LC is nothing but it is a written undertaking by importer and importer's bank to pay the exporter upon compliance of certain terms and conditions. There may be site LC or Visance LC, and governing rules is UCP 600. As far as the regulatory aspect is concerned, AD Bank must comply with RBI's LC issuance and reporting norms. Importer must retire the LC dues within 6 months, that is 180 days is the time period for settlement of import bill is prescribed by Government of India or Reserve Bank of India. This maximum period of settlement for export bill, it is 270 days, that is 9 months, whereas for import, it is 6 months. Please remember this. The customs bill of entry must be submitted for LC closure. Now, what is this bill of entry? Bill of entry is nothing but it is a conclusive proof of having received the goods into the Indian territory. And this instrument is issued by the customs authority. At the time of effecting the payment, this bill of entry required the endorsement under the IDPMS, Import Data Process Monitoring System. This is how it happens. Now, the bank guarantee. Now, bank guarantee is nothing but it is a financial guarantee which is issued by the bank on behalf of the importer. Performance guarantee, advance payment guarantee, and custom duty deferment guarantee are the three types of these are the three popular guarantees as far as import finance is concerned. these guarantees must be backed by underlying trade transaction, and validity is aligned with the contractual obligations. Next one is a standby letter of credit. This is a backup LC which serves as a financial guarantee in case of default. Standby letter of credit is not usually used for routine import in India, but it is helpful in the structured trade deals. Governing framework consists of subject to ISP 98 or UCP 600. This requires RBI's reporting under trade credit regulations. Other instrument and alternatives consist of import factoring, which is used rarely in India, but used wherever open account trade is there and prevalent. In ECA, Export Credit Agency's backed finance, it is used for the capital goods and project imports, where it requires the export credit agencies and Exim Bank support. Escrow arrangement is very sensitive trade transaction, is used for very sensitive trade transactions, and prior approval of Reserve Bank of India is required. Warehousing finance, the imports stored into the bonded warehouse, for that warehousing finance is required, can be used, and it is linked to the customs warehouse provisioning. The choice of the import finance method depends on the factors like cost, tenor, product type, and regulatory compliance and the counterparty risk. Now, what are the modes of the import payments? Import payments can be made through the arrangement which importer settles the payment obligations with the overseas supplier. The choice of payment mode impacts not only the financing cost and trade risk, but also regulatory compliance also. So India's import payment modes are regulated by FEMA, that is Foreign Exchange Management Act, RBI, Master Direction on Import of Goods and Services, International Chamber of Commerce, that is ICC rule like UCP 600 and URC 522, and Customs Act related to regulations for documentation and declaration. Now, advance remittance for import. Advance remittance for import. The importer remits the payment to the overseas supplier before shipment of the goods. That is advance payment. No doubt, there is a low risk to the exporter, but high risk to the importer. High risk to the importer because he pays without shipment of assurance. This is used in new relationship, scarce good, or politically unstable regions. Advance remittance up to $500,000 is allowed without bank guarantee. Beyond that, bank guarantee may be required unless it is exempted by the concerned authorized dealer. Bill of entry submission is required after goods are arriving. Goods are arrived. And any bank must ensure due diligence and the KYC norms that are met with. It must be settled through an authorized dealer's AD1 bank. Open accounts. Supplier ships the goods and sends the document directly to the importer who is in India, who makes the payment after receiving the goods. There is a low risk for the importer, high risk for the exporter, and suitable for established relationship, that is intra-group trade. RBI permits this under the FEMA as long as payment is made within 6 months of the shipment. AD banks must resort a transaction, report the transaction through IDPMS, and custom clearance must be matched with invoices and BOE for compliance. Documentary collection. Documentary collection governs the payment through, it governs the payment through the bank, but without a guarantee. Documents are routed via banks and goods are released only upon payment or acceptance. There are two types. One is a document against payment and second one is document against acceptance. Importer must pay on site to get the documents and take delivery of the goods. Lower the risk of the to the exporter than open account. It is governed by URC 522 of ICC. Document against acceptance. Importer accepts the bill of exchange, that is usance draft, and promising to pay at later date or future date. This is riskier for the exporter. It is often supported by the trade credit or post-shipment finance. This is permitted by RBI with usance period up to 6 months only, unless otherwise it is allowed under the trade credit norms. And custom clearance is allowed on DA or DP basis terms upon submission of the shipping document. Now, letter of credit. You know, letter of credit is payment undertaking given by the importer's bank to the exporter, guaranteeing the payment upon presentation of the compliant document. There may be site or usanciency, which is widely used and highly secured transactions under letter of credit, and it reduces the payment and performance risk. This is subject to UCP 600 ICC publication. Indian importer must ensure that LC term comply with the FEMA and RBI norms. LC must be settled within the prescribed period, generally 6 months, which is already mentioned in the letter of credit document itself. Then retirement of LC must be backed by the proper custom documentation, bill of entry, invoice and packing list. Direct remittances through the SWIFT or Trans-SWIFT transfer or telegraphic transfer. Payment is made directly by the importer through the SWIFT transfer via AD bank. It can be advance payment, it may be settling the DA or DP bill under collection, or it may be for closing the transaction under LC. RBI permits such payments subject to KYC, AML and invoice shipping document verification. All the transactions must be reported through EDPMS and IDPMS. EDPMS for export, IDPMS for import data processing monitoring system. AD Bank is responsible for matching the document with payment timelines. When import is on consignment basis, goods are shipped to the importer on an agent or an agent, but ownership remains with the overseas exporter until it is sold. No immediate payment is required to be made. Settlement happens after goods are sold. This is used in perishable commodities or agency arrangement. RBI allows this payment are settled within 180 days, that is 6 months from the date of shipment. This must be supported by the sale document. Custom valuation must match with the provisional invoice. Then third party payment. There are instances where third party payment is required to be made. This payment is made by the third party, not the actual importer, on behalf of the Indian importer. When financing arrangement is done by a group company or financiers, or when multilateral or triangular trade is happening, then it is called as third-party payments. This third-party payment is allowed under the FEMA if the export or import documents mentions the name of third party, and it is must to mention the names of the third party, name of the third party who is making the payment. A clear tripartite agreement or a documentary trail exists. This is, if the names are there, then tripartite agreement may not be required. Transaction is routed through the banking channel and reported under EDPMS or IDBMS. Escrow account and the barter arrangement. Escrow account may be allowed by RBI in high-risk countries or special arrangement. Barter requires DGFT and RBI approval and is used in sanctioned or non-convertible currency market. Regulatory framework governing the import finance. What is the regulatory framework? Import finance in India is governed by the complex web of regulations and international convention of ensuring that transparency, legal compliance, and the proper management of the foreign exchange is there. These regulations guide how import transactions are financed, documented, and reported. Some of the key pillars of the regulatory frameworks consist of Foreign Exchange Management Act. FEMA is the primary legislation which regulates the foreign exchange transaction in India, including the import payment and financing. Section 5 of the Foreign Exchange Management Act permits the current account transactions, including the import payment. It is subject to RBI regulation. Whereas Section 6 of FEMA governs the capital account transactions, which may involve the deferred import payments or overseas borrowing, that is ECB. Schedule 1 of the FEMA, that is current account transaction rules, lists the transaction which is requiring RBI and the government approval. And import of goods and services regulation set a specific timelines and documentation for import payments. RBI directions under FEMA. Time limit. Import payment must be settled within 6 months time from the date of shipment. This can be extended with a request. Advance payment should not be exceeding $500,000 or equivalent without guarantee. And anything beyond that, $500,000 requires guarantee from the Bank of International Repute. Third-party payment is permissible with the documentary evidence and the banking channel compliance. The documentation under import finance is considered as an importer's must submit the bill of entry and the evidence of the goods in receipt of goods receipt to AD Bank. Reserve Bank of India. The guidelines or master directions issued by the Reserve Bank of India consist of major applicable directions consist of master direction on import of goods and services, specified rule for the advance remittance, LC and third-party payment, detailed EDPMS export data processing and monitoring system, and real-time tracking of import transaction, that is IDPMS, through IDPMS. Guidelines for importers to submit the bill of entry within 3 months from the date of remittances. Okay. Then trade credit guidelines as revised in 2023 consist of eligible borrowers definition, where it stated that all entities eligible to import of goods and services, where the maturity period is maximum trade credit period is 3 years, and all in cost which is linked to the benchmark lending rates, SOFR or AR, appropriate rate of refinancing plus a spread. Lender eligibility is required to be considered, and overseas lender must be FATF compliant. ECB framework, if importer finances is through the external commercial borrowing, lays down the conditions for long-term import financing such as capital goods. ICC guidelines as far as import finance is concerned is UCP 600, URC 522, and URDC 758. The International Chamber of Commerce, ICC, provides the globally accepted trade finance rules. And UCP 600, Uniform Customs and Practice for Documentary Credit, governs all the letter of credit transactions, which defines the roles and responsibility of issuing and confirming banks, which ensures that the standardization of the documentation and presentation rule. Similar manner, under URC 522, Uniform Rules for Collection, which applies to the document sent on received on collection, under DA or DP basis, outlines the role of remitting and collecting bank. It provides the rule for documents handling payment and acceptance. Similar manner, URDC 758 is applicable to Uniform Rules for Demand Guarantees, which governs the bank guarantee used in import contract, and it provides the uniform legal framework for enforceability and the claim. Indian Custom Regulations 1962 comprises the customs compliance is integral to the import finance as it relates to the physical movement of the goods. The key requirement under the Indian Custom Regulation consists of bill of entry, and this must be filed electronically via ICE gate within 30 days from the date of arrival of the goods. So, import declaration must be given, which includes the invoice packing list, purchase orders, and shipping documents. Valuation rule. Government, by custom valuation rules, aligned with the World Trade Organization norms, where the duty payment is necessary before the goods clearance and financing of the duty, it must also follow the FEMA rules. Bill of entry is a mandatory to release the funds under the letter of credit or for retirement of the bills. Mismatch in declared value or delayed filing affects the RBI's EDPMS compliance. DGFT and FTP provisions. The Director General of Foreign Trade, DGFT, and the Foreign Trade Policy, FTP, 2023-28, governs the import entitlement documents. Okay. First one is import-export code. It is made mandatory. IEC code is mandatory for all the import transactions. Then AD Bank must ensure that IEC is a validity and FTP alignment. Licensing provision. Some imports require licenses for the restricted items under foreign trade policy. Compliance system and reporting framework. EDPMS, Export Data Processing and Monitoring System, all import transactions must be mapped with the bill of entry. Not EDPMS, it should be IDPMS. Please correct me. Here, instead of EDPMS, it should read as IDPMS for monitoring. AD banks report the settlement payment and bill of entry matching. Swift reporting and AML. Payments routed via Swift messaging standard. AD banks are responsible for KYC AML compliance under RBI guidelines. Audit and penalties. As far as this is concerned, the delayed import payment or non-submission of the bill of entry may lead to the FEMA contravention, and RBI can impose penalty and AD banks can be asked to withhold a further transaction. There are recent changes also. So, revised RBI trade credit norms 2023, allowing higher flexibility in suppliers and buyers credit. Stricter EDPMS monitoring and bill of entry matching timelines. Introduction of digital LC platform, that is EBG and ELC, and blockchain-based import documentation pilot programs.